All right. Who's glad that they came to Explosion tonight? I'm glad that I came. I'm glad that you came. It's going to be good. This few weeks has been a bit different, and it's been nice kind of, you know, going sideways on the church, so just so we can check out like our new air conditioner, and that it doesn't seem to be on, but that's okay. It's off, but that's all right. It's too noisy though. But just having it a bit different and just being relaxed and just really, you know, giving us a chance to refresh and reboot and just get some time where we just seek God. And I really love like the worship and that. And I'm really thinking next week we're going to give that a bit more time. So that's just telling those guys now. And then really get into like our vision for the year and then straight into everything that God's got for us. Because I think if we want to do the things that God's got for us this year, the only way we can do that is if we really refresh and are ready for it and then do it in the power of God. And I love what Rach was saying just about abiding in God and in His will. And when we do that, then we can do the things that He's called us to do. And so that's the opportunity that we have. And so like tonight's message, it's a bit different, it's a bit relaxed. So kind of maybe if you think of this as like a really big journal entry, this is kind of based on just stuff that I was reading in the Bible, and then I've just expanded that. So imagine that you've come across this passage. If you're doing the Bible reading plan, you probably came across it a few days ago if you started again. I started again at New Year's Day, and I've really enjoyed it, and I've read 1% of the Bible so far, 1 week in, which is very exciting. Little thing came up today. So if you're not doing a reading plan, then get into it and do something so that you're just getting the word in every day, because I'm liking that I just kind of started fresh January 1. And so I shared a little bit on this passage this morning in my offering message, and I want to kind of expand on that a bit further. So it's in Luke 5, verse 1 to 11. If you've got your Bible, then turn to it, because I'm going to spend the whole message there. And it's this story, and I really was thinking of it as this as the reboot for Peter's life. So up until this point, Peter has been a fisherman, and that's his job. He goes out every night and he fishes, and he takes the fish to the market and he sells them or whatever, and that's his life. Yeah. And then on this day that we read about in Luke 5, he meets Jesus for the first time, and his life is totally transformed. And the very day that he meets Jesus and that he hears from him, he leaves everything behind and he follows him. It's this life-changing moment that he couldn't have expected. But I don't know, when I was reading it, I kind of got the feeling that Peter was really ready for it. And maybe you're not expecting something, but maybe in your heart you're ready for God to do something different in your life, and you're ready for something to change, and you're ready to see a reboot for this year. And so I want to encourage you to be open and go with me as I go through this passage, and I just share kind of some thoughts that I had and things that I felt like God was speaking to me about it. Because I think like in our lives as well as in Peter's, the biggest reboot moment is that moment when you meet Jesus and you accept him as your Lord, and forever your life is changed. And so I want to just go through it. I'm going to pray before we start. God, thank you so much for your word and that you speak to us through it every day. God, thank you that we can come and we can just read what you have to say and spend time together just learning about you and what you've done for us. And I pray that right now you would really speak through me, God, and help me to just get out of the way, and that you would speak, God, and every one of us would leave with something that you have to say into our lives, God. Amen. Awesome. All right, let's get into it. Hey, Luke 5:1. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, which is just the Sea of Galilee, I'm not sure why they changed the name. Anyway, I looked that up on Google Maps today because I was like, oh, Sea of Galilee, I want to have a look at where he was. And I looked around Capernaum because like that's kind of where he was in Luke 4. So I figured in Luke 5, he can't be too far from that. And then I found this website saying that apparently you can hire a bike and you can ride around the Sea of Galilee in a day. So that's kind of like ride around the lake. Anyway, it's fun. Don't do that. That's hard work. Anyway, so that's where we are. It's in Israel. It's in the Sea of Galilee. They're sitting there, the Lake of Gennesaret. And the people were crowding around of him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon or Peter, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. So Jesus is in this big crowd, and so that he gets a bit of space and so that everybody can hear him, he pushes out on this boat. And it says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. And I was interested because obviously, like, Jesus has been teaching the word of God, and Peter's been there cleaning his nets with the other fishermen, and he's been listening to what Jesus is saying. And something about what Jesus has said or the way that Jesus has spoken has meant that Peter decides to trust him when Jesus says, go out into deep water and put your nets out again. Like, Jesus is not a fisherman, but he decides to listen to him and do what he says him, like tells him to do, okay? And I just have a few thoughts before, like, I move on in the story. Because I really feel like if we listen to the word of God and we let the word of God come into our heart, then it'll prepare us for what God has for us to do. And it readies our heart to hear the thing that Jesus wants to say and to do the thing that he wants us to do when he wants us to do it. So Peter was there and he was ready. And so then Jesus says to him, put out into deep water. Don't be satisfied with just the shallow. Don't be satisfied with just like doing your own human effort. But put out further. Go further. Try harder. He says, like the disciple, like Peter, he wasn't a disciple yet, had been working hard all night and hadn't caught anything. But he decides to give it another go, and he's willing to give it another go. And he was listening to Jesus. And I think if we want to see the miraculous, then we need to be willing to give it another go. And we need to be willing to let like God speak to us and say, one more time. Like, try it one more time, yeah? Because like my dream and your dream are not dead. And the thing that you've given up on or that you're tempted to give up on is not dead, yeah? Jesus is saying, put out into deep water and try again. He says, trust me, I can do the miracle if you're willing to trust me and you'll get out and you'll do it again, yeah? You know, the thing that you have been working on all night on, like these guys, these fishermen, and seen no results, it's not gone, it's not over, that is not wasted time. Like, it's just there ready for one more time, yeah? And I think we all feel like this, but, like, honestly, sometimes I get disheartened and I wonder why, like, things aren't going the way I thought they would go. I wonder why, like, things aren't growing really well or why we aren't being really successful, why, like, things kind of haven't happened the way that in my head I thought they would happen. Yeah, anyone else on that? And it's really easy to get really discouraged. And I could just picture like Simon, Peter, and all of the other guys just washing their nets. And I that must be a depressing thing to like, because I guess like, I don't know, the Sea of Galilee is like dirty or whatever. And so when they go fishing and they use their nets, then they've got to bring them out and wash them. And I guess if you had hundreds of fish, you wouldn't mind so much that you were washing your net. But if you got nothing, then, you know, you've just kind of dirtied your net. And now you're just washing it again for no reason. It's kind of like if you play cricket and you get all padded up and you go out and you get out for a golden duck and then you got to walk all the way back in and take off your pads again. And it's just like, what was the point of getting them out of the bag and making them sweaty and then nothing even happened and I'm back here again. And so they're sitting there and I don't know, I can just see them there being discouraged. And fishing was not a hobby. Like, I don't enjoy fishing, so I'm pretty... like, it's a safe bet that it's probably not going to become a hobby of mine. But fishing wasn't a hobby for Peter. Fishing was his business. It was his livelihood. It was the thing that, like, he did to support his family and to live day to day, you know. And so it wasn't like he just had, like, a bad round of golf on the weekend, and he was a bit disappointed. This was like he has no money today because they didn't get any fish. And so he's in that situation, that discouragement, and Jesus says, try it one more time. Go out a little bit deeper and throw your net out again. And what I think is great about Peter is his willingness to just give it another go. And he goes and says, yep. And I think like the disciples often get criticized for some of the silly things that they say and do, which they do, but so do all of us. But Peter gets it so quick, I think, in this passage. And as I was reading this the last couple of days, I was really thinking about how much Peter really gets it so quickly and gets who Jesus is and responds to him the right way. And if we can do that and we can get that, then we'll be used by God. You know, I think this is a word for all of us, and I always really feel like it was a word for me and a word for everyone, that we would just not give up, but that we would trust God and we would give it another go. You know, Galatians 6:9, it says, let's not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. I think it's easy to go through things and to keep going and get discouraged and then just kind of give up trying because you're not seeing the fruit. But I just really feel like God is just saying, one more time, give it another go. Try, just push out into that deep water and give it another go. And trust me, when I tell you to do something and you're faithful in doing it, then you will see a miracle and you will see the fruit, yeah? And so they do that and they don't give up. And then it says, when they had done so. So when they had listened and they had gone out, oh, he's changed. And he's running there's no stage. So he just gets to run wherever he wants. That's great. It says, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. And so they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. So there's this miracle catch of fish, you know. It's incredible. It's this amazing blessing. So, like, not only do they, like, catch some fish when they hadn't caught any, they just catch, like, the whole lake's worth of fish. And it starts to sink their boat. Like, it's ridiculous. And I think Jesus is kind of laughing a little bit because he's like, you know, you just trust me. He's like, I want to bless you, and I'm ready. And you'll get more than you can bargain for if you just trust me and you go and you put that boat out there and you do it again. And so they get this incredible blessing. And I think it's easy to stop right there and to get caught up in the blessing of God and be amazed at the things that God has done for you and what he did for them. And I think these guys could have been like, wow, thank you, Jesus. We are off to market right now, and we're going to get like a record haul, and then we're going to have a couple of weeks off. Like, they could have really taken that blessing from God and run with it and really enjoyed that, but they didn't do that, yeah? And that's what I was thinking was really interesting in this story, because Jesus doesn't give them the miracle so that they could make lots of money. I think Jesus does the miracle so that they could see his power and they could see the result of trusting in him. It shows the disciples that Jesus understands their physical need, but that he isn't worried about it, that it's not an obstacle for them. And so that if they trust him and that they follow him, he will provide for them and he will use them and he will bless them. Yeah. And so he's setting these guys up for the next part of this story where he asks them to follow them and leave everything. Because he says, look at what I can do. You don't need to worry about like the world and worry about the things that you need. He says, I know the things that you'll need, and if you will seek me, you will get all of that. And that's what it says in Matthew 6. And what I think Peter does next, like what Peter does next in this story, I think is his real reboot moment. And I think this is the really interesting thing in this passage. And it says this, and it says, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Now, Peter calls Jesus Lord and admits his sin. And I think he starts to realize who Jesus is in this moment. I think his heart is ready and is open, and as soon as he sees Jesus, he knows, and he knows how to respond. And his first response isn't, wow, that's awesome for the blessing, and woohoo. His first response is, just get away from me, Lord. I don't deserve this. I've sinned. I'm wrong. I'm a sinner. And like he does that straight away, yeah? And And I think that's amazing that Peter's heart straight away is on it, and he knows straight away what's happened, and that what Jesus has done is bigger than just some fish in a net. But he's like saying, I'm the Son of God, and I'm here right now in front of you. And Peter goes, whoa, okay. And just admits his sin and comes before Jesus humbly. And I think when we meet Jesus, it needs to be in the same way. We need to come with humility and just an admission of our guilt and our sin. And when we can be in that place, that's when we're ready to follow him. Because we're not like just trying to get something from God. We're not trying to, you know, get the blessing for us. But we're just realizing that there's nothing that we can do. But it's all about him and everything that he has done for us undeservedly and graciously. And there's nothing we can do on our own. And Peter gets it so fast. And I don't know, I've heard that story a lot of times. I've grown up in church. I've been in church for 25 years. And I really was starting to feel like God speak to me fresh out of that passage. And I love that about the Bible, that God can just speak to you fresh. And I just was realizing how quickly Peter just understands what's going on. And that's really awesome. You know, Jesus doesn't need your skill. He needs your heart. Yep. Jesus showed these professional fishermen how to fish. These guys fished every day of their life. They knew the spots in the lake. They knew how to catch fish. They knew that that was their living. That was what they did for a livelihood. And Jesus tells them how to do it. He tells them how to do their job. Yeah, he goes straight up and says, go over there and try it. And they catch more fish than they'd ever caught in their life. Now, Jesus doesn't need their ability. He didn't need their talent or like their skill. He needed their heart, yeah? And Jesus doesn't need your special talent, like their gifts from God, and they're great, but like he doesn't want that just by himself. He says, look, I can do it better than you. Like, I know that Jesus can preach better than me. Jesus can like play music better than anybody. Jesus can do anything that you can do better because he's Jesus. Like he is better at all of that. It's not that he needs your ability, yeah, but he needs your heart. And I think that Peter gets that then his ability to fish for men, which is what Jesus calls him to do, is going to have nothing to do with him. But Peter's ability to fish for men has everything to do with Jesus and following him, yeah? And Jesus wanted their heart to be for him, totally devoted and totally humble. And that's the heart that we require. You know, if we're going to reboot, that requires like a full switch off and switch on. It's not just like force quitting a few things. I don't know if you're like a Mac user, you force quit. Or, you know, PCs like Control-Alt-Delete. And, you know, end task or whatever. It's not like that because, you know, that just kind of like you kill the things that aren't working anymore and you just keep going. That's not what a reboot is. A reboot is everything switches off and everything switches back on. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to let our hearts really be turned and aligned with God and say, look, this is everything off and everything on and reboot, yeah? And then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. I think that's just incredible. These guys don't get caught at the first blessing, but they just drop everything and follow God. And somehow they get that there's something bigger if they would just follow Jesus. You know, I don't think we can get caught thinking that Christianity is about being blessed or about, you know, having a happy life or something like that. Like God wants to bless you and he does bless, but he blesses us so that we can rely on him and we can drop everything and we can follow him. The reason that Jesus shows these guys this miraculous catch is not so that they can be successful businessmen, but it's so that they can know to trust Jesus everywhere they go. They can know that when they just drop everything on the beach and walk after Jesus, that he will look after them and he will provide for them and he will meet all of their needs as they seek him and follow him with everything. I was reading Matthew Henry's commentary and he says, these fishermen forsook all and followed Jesus when their calling prospered, when the thing that they did prospered. It says, when riches increased, we're tempted to set our hearts upon them. But to quit them for Christ is thankworthy. I thought it was really interesting because it is easy when things start to go well because you've done something that God has asked you to do, it's easy to start trusting in the thing rather than trusting in God who made the thing. But for these guys, the disciples, to drop all of that and follow Jesus showed that they understood where that blessing was coming from and what it was for, yeah? And I think if we want to do everything that God has for us this year, then it requires dropping everything to follow Him, giving our whole hearts and our whole lives, not just taking the blessing of God, but understanding the purpose of everything that we've been given, that everything that we've been given is really just for us to give away and trust God with, and then go after Him with everything that we've got, yeah? Trust Him and be willing to give it all up and be willing to give it another go and just go out once more and try another time and trust God to move, yeah? Because, you know, God's mercy is new every day. That's what the Bible says. And it's not just a one-time offer or just a one thing that you got a chance once and now it's too late. You know, it's every day new mercy. And right now and every day we can choose to reboot and to go after God's plan and wholeheartedly follow Jesus. And I really was amazed at, I don't know, just Peter and how he got it and his response to Jesus. And then you look at his life from there and it's totally transformed. And everything that he thought he was going to be and do is totally different to where he ended up. And the same can be said of us. Now, that can be the same. That can be my story and your story, just as much as it was Peter's story. Yeah. And so that's pretty much all I've got in my, you know, giant journal entry for tonight. Just encourage you, like I really have been loving just starting again, reading the Bible from the start again, and it's been great doing this reading plan and just letting God speak. And I just encourage you to let God speak when you read His Word. I'm just going to pray. God, I just thank You so much for everything that You've done for us and the incredible blessing that You've given us, God, and that as we seek You, that You just pour out Your Spirit and Your blessing on us. And God, You want to be close to us. You want a relationship with us. And that's so amazing, God. And I just pray that You would just really use us for Your glory and Your purpose. God, help us to be people that are willing to just to drop everything and follow You. God, that don't try and hold on to the things that this world says are important or the things that we've been successful in, but this year that we would just reboot, God, and let everything go and just follow You. God, I pray that You'd challenge my heart to do that and challenge our hearts to do that, God, and just use us for Your glory this year. Before we finish, and maybe these guys will come, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to God if you haven't done that before or you feel like you're far from Him. He's like, this is what Jesus asked Peter, and He says, come and follow Me. And that's the same question that Jesus asks of us today, is will you come and follow Me? And so if you want to do that tonight, maybe for the first time or maybe again because you feel like you just haven't been following God, then I want to pray with you. And so if that's you, we're just going to pray together. And you can just repeat after me and just really pray it from your heart and pray it out loud, and all of us are going to pray. And dear Jesus, thank You for forgiving me. Come into my life and I'll follow You. Amen. If you prayed that for maybe the first time or whatever, see the person who brought you or your life group leader and get one of these books and get into it, because it's a really simple kind of explanation of God's Word and what Jesus did and how what it means to become a friend of Jesus. That's what it's called. Cool. Thanks, guys.